This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
You are listening to KBOO Community Radio Station, baby.
Welcome, welcome. You are listening to your community radio station, KBOO Community Radio. And you are tuning in to the second Wednesday of a four-week series of different topics centered around the African Diaspora in celebration of Black History Month. And tonight's topic will be on music. And I thought it would be a treat to bring in my father, who is a music extraordinaire, if you will. He's a bassist who's been playing music for well over 35 years and has been playing the bass for longer than that. And I thought I would bring him in and have a bit of a conversation about music. What music was like back in the day, the many different transitions music has had, and where we are today. And so I hope that you will join me in tonight's topic. You're welcome to give us a call here at the studio line, 503-231-8187. We opened up the tonight's topic with a family by the name of the Silvers, I remember, from back in the early 1970s, 1973-ish. And a lot of people used to say they were mimicking the Jackson 5, but they came around on their own. So check them out. They're called the Silvers. And the song that you heard was I Remember. And actually, we'll be opening up the phone lines after the interview. And so if you know, want to call in and give your take on what music is to you, and if you want to, you know, talk a little nostalgia with me and share your thoughts on music and what music is today, you're welcome to call. Again, our studio line is 503-231-8187. All right, so let's go ahead and get into it. I've got my father, Mr. Dennis Wright, on the line, and we're going to get into it. All right, Dad, so go ahead and introduce yourself to our radio listeners.
Dennis Wright. I'm Sequoia's father. I've been playing music for over 35 years. I'm a bass player. Got started my interest in background of black music and influence. Bass player, main influence was Larry Graham of Graham Central Station. I started by converting a guitar into a bass, which a member of a church had this old guitar and amplifier, and I converted it into bass and locked myself in a room one day and got busy and started my first band at 15 or 16. From there on, and did various clubs around the Oakland area.
Yeah, tell our audience where you are originally from and where you grew up.
I'm from Oakland, California. I was born in Dallas, Waxahachie, Texas, but my mom moved to Oakland, California when I was about 4 years old, 4 or 5 years old. Was living there for most of my young life and until I was around 19 or 20. Then moved to Salt Lake City, Utah, and got married in Salt Lake City, and been married for about 33, 34 years.
And you still kept your bass, still played music, even then. But before we get to that part, talk a little bit about how you started practicing and on the bass, and, you know, talk a little bit more about that.
Pretty much self-taught, just more, had a real passion for it. Like I said, anything that you want to do well, anything you want to achieve in life, you know, you have to have a passion for it. So I think that was pretty much a motivational factor for me. It wasn't so much that, you know, that I was doing it to become famous or any other reason other than I just had a passion for it. I found that, you know, it was more like an escape from a lot of the things that was going on at the time. You know, you could lose yourself in, you know, just doing that. You know, and I think that's better than any kind of medication you can be prescribed. Something that you can really have a passion for, that you can lose yourself in and escape. I think that's a lot of what we need today.
And you said that playing music while you were growing up was a way to escape from a lot of things that were going on. And you grew up in the early 70s, right? Early, mid-70s in the during that time of Oakland.
When we were doing before I played, started to play the bass, You know, but, you know, I remember a lot of things that was happening in the 60s also. You know, that's where a lot of influence for me was. That, too, was like your mid-60s. Yeah. So.
And who were your inspirations during that time in the 60s, before Larry Graham?
Yeah, well, you said Larry Graham, Sinatra, Sai, and the Family Stones, because that's who he started with. I grew up during, you know, the time of the, you know, like the civil rights movement was different from like the civil rights movement in the South. I'm pretty sure it was different in a lot of areas in the East Coast, but the West Coast is, for me, it was a way of identifying and understanding who you were and being able to move around in the community and do things without, you know, hindrance and things like that, you know. So the 60s was like that, because I grew up around, like, you know, hippies, the Flower Children and all that, and, you know, so during the free love era.
And did the music express that, like with James Brown, Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, the Sign of Family Stone had a song called Don't Call Me Nigga Whitey. Yeah, you had, like, Parliament, they did a lot, like Chocolate City, you know, which you were talking about, like Oakland, Washington, D.C., Chicago, and places like that, to which black people really identify. Well, like I said, who they were, being able to stand up in their communities, and, you know, even influence the churches, you know, to which we don't have nowadays. We don't have too much influence in the church anymore, to which is sorely needed. But that's pretty much how it was for me growing up, you know. Didn't have a lot of the things that you see a lot of kids ignore today.
Growing up in Oakland, the band that you had, what was the name of the band again?
We were East Bay Enterprise starting out, but then we were influenced by Kyle Power's album. It was called Urban Renewal, and we changed our name to Urban Renewal.
Nice. And being a young band during that time, you guys also grew up with the Black Panther Party. And I believe you said at one point that you played at a rally or two for them.
Yeah, a lot of functions that they had, rallies. You know, there was one point where Huey Newton and stuff was in jail. We did play for a fundraiser for that. Yeah, money for, like, bail for Huey Newton. But, yeah, there's a lot of, so many I can't remember. There's one I do remember exclusively. It's like when we had a parade, it was done, and we played on the back of a flatbed truck. And that was one of the biggest, and there was a point to where, you know, we played for this, was Thanksgiving time, and we played for turkey giveaways. We actually were giving away, they were giving away bags of groceries. Or black people generally looking at these, it has nothing to do with being racist or anything. It has nothing to do with identity. You know, and I think we've lost a lot of that. Because that was one of the things I could say, you know, growing up, that I experienced that you don't see nowadays in the young people, is that they don't really identify with who they are and where they come from. You know, it seemed like it's easy for them to kick that to the curb, as you say, than to, you know, embrace it and uphold it. But it's always something that we could always count on. And so even during the good times as well as the bad times as well as the good times, we was able to be able to hear a song and stuff like that, and it would uplift us and be able to keep going forward. It's not that way. It's that the things that they have affected us, not only that, it's affected our music too and how we express love and stuff to each other.
And speaking on love, because black music is American music. Let's just go ahead and keep it real. And
right.
When you talk about relating to each other and expressing love, talk about some of the best writers that you knew growing up that expressed that, other than Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah, I would say you'd have to throw up in that mix. James Brown was good for that.
Really? You would say James Brown was a good writer?
Oh, yeah. You know, that was one of the reasons why he was really killed, really, because he fought. But, you know, like I said, you know, I'm black and I'm proud. A lot of Funky President, you know, if you listen to that song, you know, he was an advocate, man, for black people in his music. I mean, he brought the era of funk, it was him. Today's rap comes from him.
Hey, I got to say it again. We got to get together, buy some land, raise our food.
You know, we had a lot of catalysts, like, so that doesn't get the credit due to them, like Jeffrey Osborne, was going to say. A lot of the, like, Love Ballad was a big hit in the 70s amongst us.
Was Jeffrey Osborne a writer?
Yeah, he wrote. He wrote with LTD, and, you know.
Yeah, and I was gonna tell our listeners that who are not familiar with Jeffrey Osborne, he was one of the members of the LTD group. And was he one of the main writers for LTD?
He wasn't one of the main writers, so he had collaborators, but he collaborated with others on songs and stuff like that, you know. But like I said, what makes him unique is not so much of the writers that, you know, remember that the artist has to be the one to bring a writer's music to life, and he could do that. You know what I mean? With his voice, he has a unique voice. Nobody sounds like him. Today, you could pretty much find, you listen to someone, you have to guess who it is because they sound so much alike. But you would hear Jeffrey Osborne or Stevie Wonder or like Maurice White, or even coming into the 80s, like one of my favorite artists was like Charlie Wilson. Who is who because of their uniqueness. You don't have that today. The uniqueness of their voice, the approach to that. Like another instance, like the Ohio Players, Sugarfoot. He had that ow kind of sound. He made that famous. A lot of things that's been taken for granted to what you see today. A lot of these kids think, these young people think that this uniqueness, or it's been done, they don't realize where it comes from. They really don't care where it comes from.
So, they don't appreciate what came before them.
Exactly. And we do ourselves, soon and let alone, we do ourselves a real big disservice. You know, it's because one thing, too, is all the great artists that we've had, our only artists but writers and stuff like that, has never really embraced. I think one of our biggest problems is the economic side of it, that we didn't. We turn around and the dollars and the wealth that we made, we turn around and gave it back to the powers that be.
And you can see that.
It could have opened a lot of doors for young black people for this area. You could have had schools and hospitals and stuff, you know, because one thing does lead to another. And when it comes to economic value, I know Obama likes Abraham Lincoln. But see, we have to understand when we were being outsmarted, he outsmarted us. And to this day have us thinking that he had a great sympathy for the black man, or had a, you know, or it was catalyst in freeing the black man. All he did was thought up a plan in order to keep us under control, and it's working till this day, and that was economic value. We were American music. You could take the case of Ray Charles or any of them. You like that story of Ray Charles? He took control of his own destiny, his money, and it's an economic power that he had in his music. He controlled it. You know, if a lot of us would have taken that example and was been able to do that, then right now we would be pretty much economically independent.
You look at Motown Records and how they started out so strong and had so many, you know, intricate players, and to see where they went from being strong to just being mediocre.
We have to face the fact and face the truth that not all of us, just because we have black skin, it feels the same way. You have a lot of them that still goes back to the days of slavery who sold us out. To which one was some that wanted to be independent and want to make things work for themselves, had a passion to make things work for themselves. You had a bunch of sellouts. And we have that today. You have them that will backstab you or conspire to make sure that type of thing will never happen. See, this is one of the things we have to be able to recognize and able to move forward in anything that you do.
That's right.
Because even when I was playing, when I started to play bass, I had people, I'm talking about people in my own neighborhood, people who you think would inspire you or would tell me that I would never amount to anything, that I would never be able to learn to play. You have people, you know, false accusing you of things, you know, just to stop you from, you know, for achieving that goal. So we have to understand that is one of our biggest problems. And we must recognize those who will do that. And they're all in the churches. They're everywhere.
So they're definitely in the
music.
Because
they have black skin doesn't mean that they're going to have the same desires and aspirations that you have. I know that's hard to hear, but the truth is the truth.
Well, and speaking upon that, when we're talking about music and we're talking about moving forward, no matter what, you know, no matter who tries to hold you down, one of the biggest things that I seen growing up with you and having, you know, having bands and having people that you've played with, what is the most important thing when it comes to musicianship, camaraderie, and, you know, and being on the same page to get to that next level? What, in your opinion, is the most important thing about musicianship, camaraderie?
Well, you said it in it, that you have to recognize if that person or you two people have anything in common that you could be on the same page with, that you could see a future with. A lot of people will lead you to believe that they're on that same page, but then you have to, as I say, you have to be vigilant enough to recognize signs to show you that that's not true. That's one thing. But then again, you have to know what your goals is and where you want to go. You know, that you could keep some of the mistakes that I've made is probably trying to hold on to something that wasn't going to pan out in the long run anyway. You know, and I say that you recognize that, you know, as soon as possible and go the other direction, or go the direction that you, the path that you paid for yourself, you want to stay on that path. You can't let any distraction, including dealing, because you're going to deal with people who aren't on that same page with you, you know, but you got to know when to cut it loose when that time comes.
Right. And not always make it about making money or having status or anything like that. If you have a passion, and especially when it comes to music, you know, it's not always about making the dollar.
In this day and age, that's probably right now maybe somewhat of a rarity, because right now everybody seems to be, you know, bent on money. I guess it goes around and sort of to a certain time or generations to which it'll start to get better. Maybe this is one of the top bad times where some generations is going to be lost when it comes to that, because they don't know the value of anything right now. you know, that it's like you said, it's not all about money, you know, because we have to understand that money is not greater than us. We're greater than money. And the things that you take for granted, or the things that you sell out on, are the very things that's going to nurture you and nurture your children and nurture your future.
Right.
So, right now, you see it. Take the music today. Everybody's a single. Like, you don't have, like in my day, you don't have the bands no more. So even then, you had camaraderie. You had understanding in groups and bands. Look at the 60s. You had the Supremes, the Temptations go down. But nowadays, look at the artists you have nowadays. Beyonce, single. All of these people are single. There's no more groups. And then when you do see a group, you find out later on that something happened in the group to split them up. One head's bigger than the other, or something. Or somebody outside the group has some bigger ideas and infiltrate the group and break it up.
And
that's why I say these are the things that you ask the question, the things that makes it makes good groups and good musicians and good musicianship. That's one thing you have to do, just to understand each other and the value of what you are to each other. Because if there's no more than a dollar, then you might as well just stay a single act. You might as well go on your own. Because if it's no more than a dollar, you want to make good music and memorable music, music that stands the test of time, then you have to know you have to do it together. You can't let anybody divide you. You can't let money divide you.
And speaking of which, you've done some originals yourself, right?
I've dabbled in it. I won't consider myself a great writer. I'm a good musician, but one doesn't have anything to do with the other. You have good writers who aren't good musicians, but you have good musicians who aren't good writers.
And what are the differences?
The difference is the sign. This is where you ask where musicians come together. This is where collaboration comes in, because one writer might say, like, take for instance Aretha Franklin. She's had good writers too, and which the writers knew that if she did their song, that this song will become a big hit. See what I'm saying? So the difference between that, she's a good artist, a good singer, versus somebody who has a gift for putting words together. Put the two together, what do you have? And that's how it works. And this is where a lot of us even the greats that you live to have overlooked that they've let money and other influences come in and destroy something that was destined to be great.
Yeah, I definitely see what you're saying.
And seeing the thing of it is that, people have to understand, if you want to be able to achieve something, you can't lie to yourself. You know, you can't lie. And so, like, if you want to hold on to something, and you're willing to, even deceive yourself in order to hold on to it, it's just a... You're headed for trouble.
Yeah.
Any organization or any kind of movement, if you don't have good camaraderie, and if you don't, aren't truthful with each other as well as truthful with yourself, then you're just headed down a dark path. That's all.
Which is where music has headed, in my opinion. In my opinion, I feel like because of that, we have headed down a dark path, because even though there's independent artists out there that are still doing the work for themselves because they have the love for music, you know, which is great. You know, no matter what, you're always going to have that underground independent artist. But when we're talking about people who are still looking for that mainstream sound, that are still looking for, you know, people that is readily available, people still looking for that. And what is your take on independent artists as opposed to mainstream artists? How do you feel about that?
If you commercialize, if you want your music to be commercialized, or you want to be a commercialized artist, then you go with the mainstream. But if you have a passion for your music and you want your music to have substance, then you do it the other way. Because like the other ways, will seem harder to a mainstream person, such as who wants to be commercialized. If you want a part of what's going on today, then you have to try to fit into that part of it. But see, like, if you were like a person that's selling his music, who's producing his own music and selling it out of the back of his car, as you say, then that person has a real passion for what he's doing.
Right. But you have a lot of independent artists out that say, when there are people like you and myself who say, well, you know, music just isn't the same as it used to be. You have independent artists out there who say, well, wait a minute, hold on. I mean, we're out here, you know, it's just that we're not heard as much. And that's true. And that goes back to what I just said in terms of artists not being readily available.
Well, the difference between younger people today than the younger people than when I was growing up is that we were more mature when it came to that. When it came to the music period, the approach to it, even listening, we were more mature because I know songs now that I liked and I pulled even before I was born. You don't see that nowadays. If you were to ask a younger person, a young adult right now, about a certain artist, he or she couldn't tell you.
Well, just, I mean, no, some of them could tell you. Don't I mean that? No,
well, I'm talking about. But the thing of it is, what the point that I'm making is that it seemed like that was part of us. That, you know, you didn't have to work hard to know who these people were, or to have to second guess. You knew because your parents would teach you. Because nowadays, like, it stems in the home. Parents would teach their kids. They would grow up listening to what their parents listened to. Nowadays, these kids are so out of it. It's to a point to where they think they know more than their parents do. So right there throws in a gap, which they do themselves a disservice, because as they become older, it's going to be other people come tell them about their own heritage, which they know nothing about.
So you're saying in terms of young black kids growing up today?
Yes. You know, I mean, it all comes in, stems from respect. You know, nowadays kids will come and call you by your first name. Instead of that showing respect first and foremost, it starts in the home and how your parents teach their children. The first thing you teach them is to say, hi, Mr. This, or hi, Mrs. That. Or when that's in, they get there, they call you by your first name, like you one of their buddies or something. So, and it stems into even the kind of music until they grow up into maturity, then they see, because I've seen it in you and your brothers and sisters. Y'all, at the time you were growing up, didn't understand, but as you got older, you started to mature, you started to even see things that I have been trying to teach you all along.
Yeah, that's true. I've been telling you, wow, Dad, I'm starting to understand and see what you're saying.
Well, I mean, it's not just, you know, it was in my generation, but as I was growing up, we were made to listen. Parents nowadays don't care. You got kids raising kids, so to speak. It's like this: if we're talking music, when I was growing up, if you couldn't sing, or you couldn't hold a note, or you couldn't play, you know, regardless of how people would think it is today, or that it was mean to tell somebody they couldn't sing or they couldn't play, you were still telling them the truth. That way they don't build themselves up to a point to where nowadays most kids can't hear that, can't take disappointment. They either do something themselves or to somebody else nowadays. But back then, people they would tell you the truth right from the jump, so you don't build your hopes up or build yourself around something that's not true. To where it becomes your whole world, and then you can't deal with the setback or you can't deal with the disappointment. See, that's the difference. That's what I mean about having to know when you somebody's telling you the truth or lying to you. The only way you're going to know that is not for you to lie to yourself. To know the truth about yourself. Now, if you really have a passion for singing or playing an instrument, then you're going to have to know what your capabilities are and what your limitations are.
Right.
And not lie to yourself and not let people lie to you just because it's fashionable or they got some other reason for lying to you.
Well, let me ask you this. How would you define the sound that's out right now?
Garbage. Because it's not real. It's synthetic. They're pushing people on who don't really have talent. You know, it's to a point to where the commercial side of it is taking over the creative side of it. It's what's marketable, and some people are just not marketable. I mean, I can go down the list. Britney Spears, yeah. They're talking about Britney Spears making $14 million for being on that one show. And
Why? The Voice.
Yeah, I'm like, why? What talent does she portray? What songs she ever written?
As opposed to, let's say, Jennifer Hudson, Mary J. Blige.
Right. Or R. Kelly.
R. Kelly.
You know.
So let's correlate those artists as next to, you know, artists from back in the day. You know, Chaka Khan, Gladys Knight.
You asked me to compare who you asked me to compare to.
No, I'm just saying, you know, making the correlation. You know, because obviously, let's say, for instance, Mary J. Blige, you know, she obviously hasn't been influenced by Chaka Khan. You can hear it all in her voice.
Right.
Jennifer Hudson, but I would say she's a class within herself, you know, because.
Well, yeah, and like I say, yeah, she's gifted. You could see the gospel background in her, because most of all the great singers have a gospel background that sing in church. You know, Aretha Franklin, her father was a minister. The Pointer Sisters, their father was a minister. They sang in church. See, this is where a lot of talent. You know, and like I said, you know, right now, you know, this is something that I've known, but I've learned to embrace, and that is the church. The church is out of, not in our lives as much, in our kids' lives and our young people's lives, as it was in my day.
Well, it used to mean that the church is supported community, and churches don't really support community like they should.
Right.
So,
right. You which know, were producing great artists to, you know, a lot of people, you know, were narrow-minded in just because singers and stuff were in church that they were doing the work of the devil when it came outside of the circular music. But you don't understand that was what kept people in churches, is they able to be able to express to each other in other terms. It doesn't always have to be in church. You know, and a lot of them are still going to church that did circular music that didn't have anything to do with, you know, with their love for the Lord or the love for the church.
Right.
You know, but it was an economic, that's what goes back to that again, it was an economic tool for us to be able to uplift ourselves, you know, above poverty and above racism. All of that, when I think it was working at one point, especially the 70s, was working for her. A lot of people don't want to admit to themselves about conspiracy, or they want to trivialize, you know, or make it sound like it's some of to be laughed at or absurdity. That these things don't just happen on their own. You know, these things have been put in to trip us up, to stop us from moving forward. And this is the same thing that happened in the time of Abraham Lincoln. During the South, there was a lot of uprisings, you know, and a lot of them were owning property and stuff like that. A lot of us was gaining that. So they couldn't have that. I mean, it's hard to hear. A lot of people see it. It's hard to hear, but the truth is the truth.
Do you think the same thing happened with music?
Yes. Because white kids were listening to black artists. You've seen movies to that. It's in the movie Ray. It's in the movie Dreamgirls. Not only were they trying to, you know, but they were stealing the economic value that we were creating and we were gaining for ourselves. So what they did was either they copy it. I mean, it's all through the 20s, all the way through, all of the times. I mean, look at Spike Lee's Malcolm X. You know, we had the big bands and all of that. It has nothing to do with racism. It has to do with survival and has to do with identity. It has to do with pride. Now, if anybody wants that for you, they would understand that.
So to our young listeners out there, what encouraging words that would you like to say to them in order to motivate them to, you know, get back to basics? Even though it looks like they are faced with opposition from their peers because they're doing the latest and the whatever, what would you say to those who feel the way that we feel, who stand alone and love music and want to go a path of back to basics type of things? What would you say to those youngsters?
Well, I would say to them that first and foremost, you have to put your faith in God. Because when you put your faith in God, then He's the one that you talk to. And He will give you the things that you need to listen to. He will send people in. This is why I say you will understand. This is the beauty of how God has created us, that He gives you a choice. So you'll be able to listen to the persons who mean you well and to the people who don't mean you well. That's the first thing you think about, that. You put your faith in Him first and foremost, in the God, and go for the things that gives your life meaning. You know, those things that make you feel good, not you know, kicking somebody else to the curb or doing somebody else harm to make yourself feel like you're worth. Life is worth it. You know, you find that makes your life. You know, that make you feel good about yourself.
And as us as a collective, what is your thoughts on what we could do as a collective of people to break the mental chains?
I'd say value the things, not take for granted the small and the simple things that's already in your control. You can't control something that you can't control in your life. And in someone else's life, you could be an inspiration to. We have to be inspirations to each other. So the first and foremost, you can't be afraid to say certain things, you know, because you're afraid that, you know, someone might not take it well. You know, you have to be truthful with yourself in order to be truthful with other people.
All right. With that, Dad, I appreciate you sharing with our audience. I've grown up admiring the things that you've taught us, and you gave us the window what was to happen and what we're talking about today, and it definitely has panned out. And I wanted to share our thoughts with the community, you know, and really, truly talk for real for Black History Month. That's the whole goal of these series that I'm doing this month. So thanks, Dad. I appreciate it.
No problem. I'm glad to do it.
All right.
I pledge allegiance to the slums, not red, white, and blue. Hey. Got thug in your blood, but we live not for you. The sun don't shine here, bad dreams come true. Imagine if God had given me this pain, He gave it to you. I pledge allegiance to the slums, not red, white, and blue. Hey. Got thug in
in your blood, what we live is not for you. The sun don't shine here, bad dreams come true. Imagine if God had given us his pain and gave it to you.
They can make 1,000 laws a day, but we still gon' break them. I know my role won't sell my soul, we'll go roll with Satan. Born in Matrix, they trick us to get with corporations. Cause I'm dangerous, I'm more for changes and force some banging. Man, you can kick this to the judge or a couple agents. I ain't waiting for reparations, I say fuck your payments. The pavement got blood on it, and we stuck with hatred. Too many stories, no more stories on who ain't make it. For every 5 to show me love, 10 hated crater. Wish I can buy my whole hood so I can save my neighbors. Cause I know that we gon' blow, but they won't make it major. Cause most of them, they got habits, don't be saving paper. And their homies that owe me money say they pay me later. Why genocide got these ladies treating baby gangsters? Man, whoever you believe in, I just pray save us. Till then, we move on, we move on.
I pledge allegiance to the slums, not red, white, and blue. Hey, got thug in your blood, but we live, it's not for you. The sun don't shine here, bad dreams come true. Imagine if God ain't give me this pain, he gave it to you. I pledge allegiance to the slums, not red, white, and blue. Hey, got thug in your blood, but we live, it's not for you. The sun don't shine here, bad dreams come true. Imagine if God ain't give us this pain, he gave it to you.
While y'all ballin', the sky fallin', could be the day. All these leaders and misleaders, so who gon' lead the way? They got more guns than us, but we win either way. What? Ain't no sunshine till I see them pay. I woke up out the bed saying I won't free the slaves. So when the ancestors come home, I won't feel ashamed. I did time and change, but no pen pals found. But I can still see the sun through the chemtrail clouds. Dreams turn to happiness, ain't that odd? Instead of watching talk shows, we read niggas to God. Out of love, I'm plugged, straw man from the Wizard of Oz. I'm indigenous, I live in the stars.
I pledge allegiance to the slums, not red, white, and blue.
Thank you for tuning in to tonight's KBOO Black History Month special. I am your host, Miss Sequoina Wright, and you heard a conversation between myself and my father tonight about music and where it was and where it's gone, and hearing his experience as a musician playing music and just the different thoughts that he wanted to share and that I wanted to air with you all. And I hope that you enjoyed it, and maybe hopefully we maybe put a little bug in your ear and gave you something to think about, because this is what it's about. It's just to give you something to think about and bring it back home and give us some ideas on what we can do to change our communities and help each other out. Anyway, I do appreciate you tuning in. We have 2 more specials coming up. Next Wednesday, we'll have Dr. Umar Johnson, who will talk about the mental state of Black boys and youth in general. It's going to be a really good conversation and topic, so tune in for that. And then hopefully we will have Dr. Claude Anderson coming in and talking about Black group economics. So we've got some pretty good shows coming up, rounding off our Black History Month special. Again, there's still some time, so if you want to call in and give your opinion about music from your perspective, you're welcome to give us a call. We're here at 503-231-8187, and we've got 10 more minutes, so if you want to call in and give a little shout out or give your opinion, please do. And so let's go ahead and get into one more song. And again, if you want to call in, the phone number here to the air room is 503-231-8187.
Every voice and sing till earth and heaven. dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought.
Got about 7 more minutes left of this special, and I do have a caller on the line who would like to share his thoughts. And I've got right now I have Mr. Thomas on the line. Thomas, are you there? Hello, Thomas, are you there? Oh, Thomas, are you there?
I can hear you.
Okay. Go ahead, Thomas. Go ahead and...
Okay, hey, number one, thank you for that interview with your dad. I mean, it was spot on. Too bad I get to talk to him, but I agree with everything he says. And because I thought you was either Paula, Jamal, or Jamila, Jamon. I mean, I'm a regular. So, excuse me. What I wanted to add, my favorite artist, and it ties in with Black History Month, was Curtis Mayfield. So your dad, he mentioned everybody. But Curtis Mayfield, and he made a song called "If You Had a Choice of Colors, My Brother," and that was between 65 and 70 when it came out, and that really moved the civil rights movement. That's one of my favorite artists, Curtis Mayfield. And next time you talk to your dad, you might want to ask him about that.
Yeah, definitely will. And he has all of Curtis Mayfield's music, so that's not an issue. So I think he would definitely agree with you on that.
I know he did. And
but in terms of what Curtis Mayfield did as an artist and inspiring young Black youth, how did he do that? You know, in your perspective.
Oh well, if you had a choice of colors, my brother, and then the song "Keep On Pushing" by him. It was a civil rights song. It was a civil rights. I mean, and it just motivated. Okay, I'm 53, so I was 8, 9, and 10 when that came out. But your pops, he was so right, because he said something about how the youngsters today does not know the music of yesterday. That, you mind if I ask you a question?
Sure, go ahead. We'll love it.
There's a song called "A Change Gonna Come." It was Barack Obama's theme song in 08. Could you tell me who the artist was? See?
I can tell you. I can't think of it right now because you caught me off guard. But I do know the song. It was a song that that became popular after after the movie Malcolm X.
Correct.
Towards the end. So that became very popular. I know who the artist is. I just can't think of it right now. But but I appreciate you asking the question, because it's true. A lot of us, you know, that are younger from you do need to circle back and understand where, get back to basics of where music was at one point. You know what I mean? And what it meant to us, and how it was a part of culture, and what it and how it saved us. You know what I mean? That's just my personal opinion.
Exactly. And back to what your pop said, his parents sit him down and made him understand this music. And my parents, like, "A Change Gonna Come" came out in 64. So I was too young. But my mom said, "You listen to this song. A Change Is Gonna Come" by Sam Cooke. Sam Cooke made that song.
Sam
and that
Cooke.
Is my
All
favorite.
Right. All right.
That's,
you got me.
It's such a moving song. And also, I bet your father heard of Jill Scott. Now, Jill Scott did "The Revolution Will Not Be Televised." Okay? Another
right.
song that would knock your socks off.
Oh, I know. And, I know who Jill Scott is very well. And I know her doing that rendition. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, Again, thank you very much. It was very entertaining, and I listen to cable all the time, and you're doing a great job, and keep up the good work.
Thank you very much, Thomas, for giving your insight, and appreciate it. All right. So if anyone else wants to call in, we still got about four or five minutes, so give us a call.
And if you're trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our show together, gonna polish up our act. Well, and if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
Alright, y'all, we got one more caller calling in, and I'm gonna bring him in. Alright, sir, you're on air. And you said you wanted to answer that question of the change is gonna come. Hello, are you there? Hello, are you there? Hello? I don't know what happened to him. Hello? Well, I guess that's going to do it, y'all. I do, again, appreciate you calling in, the callers that did call. And I appreciate you, Thomas, for stumping me on a question, on a song that I should have known the artist on. So I apologize for that. Anyway, everyone have a wonderful day, or evening, rather. And continue to do whatever work that you're doing in the community, and let's keep our folks engaged and educated and doing the right thing. Peace, y'all.
February 13th is the second annual World Radio Day. World Radio Day is a day to celebrate radio as a medium to improve international cooperation between broadcasters and to encourage major networks and community radio alike to promote access to information and freedom of expression over the airwaves. As radio continues to evolve in the digital age, it remains a medium that reaches the widest audience worldwide. It is a multi-purpose medium that can help people engage in discussions on topics that affect them. It can save lives during natural or human-made disasters, and it can provide journalists with a platform to report facts and tell their stories. For broadcasters all over the world, and from KBOO volunteer broadcasters in particular, thank you so much for listening. Happy World Radio Day to you.
Hey, it's a little after 8 o'clock here at KBOO Portland, listener-supported radio, 90.7 FM here in Portland, Oregon, 100.7 FM in Corvallis, Albany, 91.9 FM in White Salmon, Washington, Columbia Gorge area. No matter where you are, welcome. Time now for another edition of Drinking from Puddles. I'm Brandon. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Let me remind you, however, if you consider this one of the last weeks where if you consider yourself a sensitive listener, maybe drinking from puddles is not recommended for you. You may want to turn off your radio at this time, rejoining KBOO sometime in the future. For the rest of you, yeah, stick around. Got plenty of new music, plenty of old music, lots of music, music, music. It's all coming your way. Be here till 11 o'clock again for one of the very last times. So we're going to get things going with a little Red Sparrows. This is from their 2010 release, which is entitled The Fear is Excruciating, But Therein Lies the Answer. And this piece is As Each End Looms and Subsides. Red Sparrows, KBOO Portland, Drinking from Puddles. Thanks once again.